Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Apparently sadness is a trend. TikTok is liking crying makeup. From hashtag sad girl walk to dazed stares, misery, or the performance of it, it's all over the platform. And I don't understand what this is about. I can't stand watching people cry. Who wants to watch people cry? Why is this? And it's so attention seeking, isn't it? It's those people that put on Facebook, such a terror, at Linksfield, emergency again. And that's all they say. And then people say, what's wrong, dear? And what's wrong, my lovey? And are you okay? Anything we can do for help? And there's silence. That is the most irritating type of attention seeking. And I think that this is it was until this whole sadness thing came along. But you know what? If you don't believe me, let's ask the expert. Well, I hope she agrees with me. Bronwyn Williams, futurist, economist, and business trend analyst. Good morning. Thanks for joining us again. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me on the show again.
It is a great pleasure. So how irritating is this trend? Please tell me I'm not the only one who thinks so.
Oh, it's just silly. Well, there's kind of two variants of what's going on with this sort of sadness and portraying yourself as looking very, very sad on TikTok. The one, as you said, is unfortunately a bit to do with attention seeking. Particularly pretty young girls have found that if they post videos of themselves looking distressed, they get a whole lot of attention from fellow females who want to show their empathy, and perhaps from maybe members of the opposite sex who are looking for someone to rescue, right? I mean,
right.
One of the archetypes, you know, the tragic princess that
needs
rescuing
from
some sort of situation, right?
Mm.
So, and there's lots of variants of that, unfortunately. The sadness thing is quite closely related to, like, mental health TikTok, where, unfortunately, again, we see a lot of young people self-diagnosing themselves with all sorts of mental illnesses, particularly ones that are deemed to be more attractive, quite often invisible illnesses.
Right.
You know, things like chronic pain, for example, that can't be proven wrong or right by certainly not by strangers on the internet, and quite often are quite hard to diagnose even by medical professionals. But anyway, if you can claim to be particularly ill of health in great extraordinary pain and looking quite distressed, well, you are going to get a bit of attention, like you were saying earlier before you introduced the subject. People do inquire. You get the attention that you're seeking. If you're someone that feels a bit lonely, it's a good way to get some eyeballs and some likes and some clicks and some of that, you know, connection that you might be missing. But in terms of the sadness thing on TikTok, there's also a much lighter-hearted version of this, where there was quite a popular filter that came from Snapchat, which of course was sort of TikTok's forerunner, at least in Western society. People don't go to Snapchat quite as much as used to. It's, you know, as popular as it was. But that one filter that makes you look like you are crying, but in like great emotional distress, almost to the point of caricature, is now being seen on TikTok. People going onto Snapchat using this filter, creating a video and then uploading it onto TikTok. You can't actually get this particular filter that everyone finds so either hilarious and or distressing over there. And what people are doing there is pranking people to say that they're feeling sad, or they're using it over videos of celebrities, or they're using it to confuse their friends and families, where someone looking through the camera through the filter will see you in great distress, but your friends around you don't understand what you're acting on. So that's a lot more of a sort of silly trend. But again, you know, everyone's looking for the likes and the clicks, and a lot of this makes absolutely no sense. If you listen to me talking about this conversation 5 or 10 years ago, you would think, what is this woman on about? She's completely insane. But, you know, this is what we do now for fun.
But, yeah, it can't. I mean, we know that human nature is that we want to be happy, and we are drawn to people that are positive and that are happy and that give us a good energy, not a negative one, which means that this has to be very limited in its value. I mean, how many times can you post yourself sobbing? Maybe you can do it, you know, once a quarter, once every half year, but you certainly can't be doing this every week and expect any form of sympathy. And we see that. We see that the people on Facebook that I was referring to earlier, often those are the people that are serial posters about how miserable life is and how their friend stabbed them in the back. You know who you are. That type of thing. It's most of us just roll our eyes and scroll on past.
Yeah, but there's a distinction there between Facebook and between the likes of TikTok and Snapchat platforms, in that Facebook was designed and still actually is used, I think, by most individuals that are using it, using a business use case aside, to connect with people that you actually know in your real life, right?
Right.
So just like we want to avoid chronically miserable complainers in Facebook, and we see those same people every day on your Facebook feed. So Facebook is sort of like a digital translation of your real life network or your real life node. Whereas with these other platforms, the likes of TikTok and Snapchat, and even Twitter to a lesser extent, the algorithms are designed for discovery to get you to look at new people, which means you can post crying videos every day and attract new eyeballs as that clip or that algorithm puts you in front of different users. And there's so many people out there, and I don't know if you've played around with the TikTok algorithm at all, but even if you are a useless poster, it's designed to get you followers quite quickly to get you sucked into the platform, right? And whatever gets you more attention and gets you more people coming to your page or engaging with your content, that algorithm is going to encourage you to create more of that. And unfortunately, these sort of self-reinforcing negative trends can be quite damaging, particularly to young people who are now seeing things like mental illness or mental unwellness or sadness or despair or distress is actually having a positive social credit in their world. We are perpetuating bad things. We are actually incentivizing bad things for people, bad feelings, because those bad feelings and those bad experiences get us good things being in this case.
Yeah, and I like the word you used, social credit. It gets us being.
I want to go back to that point there in terms of the social credit, because what's changed now over the last couple of years, I think on this show we've also spoken about it, is that what's happened with the Web3 and DeFi and NFT kind of a space, what we have effectively done is we have found a way to monetize social credit. We always had social credit as powerful and popular people in the room. But what we managed to do now is find a way to basically convert that attached in the form of...
Right. And now we've... Oh, there we go. We've unfortunately lost the line. I do want to get Bronwyn back, because there's something actually. I wanted to go back to TikTok and ask her about the credits, the social credits, and also if you have more followers on TikTok, what does that translate to in other areas? Bronwyn, I believe you're back with us.
Yes. Sorry, I don't know what happened there with the line.
No issue. Yeah, what I wanted to ask you as well is, you mentioned something about TikTok being designed to get you a lot more followers. And in fact, I was having this conversation with a friend a short while ago, where I was saying there's almost got to be a ratio of, if you've got 1,000 TikTok followers, that equals 10,000 Twitter followers, because the numbers just don't seem to make sense when you look at TikTok followers versus Instagram or Twitter.
I like to liken the differences in those algorithms to the way those platforms are run. Maybe you want to contrast this with Twitter, which is what's happening at the moment with the whole Elon Musk buy over, and now you're wanting to charge, you know, journalists and the rich and famous for their famous blue or now white ticks, right? To verify that they are important and have high amount of status. Twitter is more like an elitist kind of a system, or we can compare it to the non-evangelical religions, right? The religions that try and exclude people from coming into whatever kingdom of heaven they might have, as opposed to the likes of TikTok, which could probably be better described as one of the more evangelical religions, like Christianity or like Islam, right? Which is designed to spread and feed. So the actual sort of understanding behind those platforms is quite different, and how they're designed to work. Some of them are designed to create elitists and sort of, you know, the elite versus everyone else, and create the space basically on envy, and others are designed more around engagement. And TikTok's been very clever about getting the little person to feel like they are important, and by throwing a little bit of attention to everyone. And that's why they're growing so fast, right? Because it's really hard to become popular in one of the more established platforms, isn't it?
Absolutely. Very, very interesting, Bronwyn. Thank you. As always.